I just want to say hello to my friends. 你们好。That's the limit of my Mandarin. I can speak a little bit, but I'm Cantonese. 广东人。啊，广东话没有问题。Okay. Well, it's so good to be here. We traveled here yesterday, and we hope to go back tomorrow. But Sabbath, we have reserved for a time of worship, and I'm so glad to be here. I have been praying about what God wants me to say to you, and the Lord says, well, you have been working on something, and I think you ought to talk to them, give your personal testimony regarding how I became an Adventist. Now, I thought that would be a wonderful thing. This is how my story is, how God has guided me into His church through a series of wonderful things. And I would like to read to you from the Bible, Psalms 105, Psalm 103 rather, Psalm 103. And boys and girls, if you think you're missing out on a story, you're not, because my whole sermon is a long story, okay? Hope it's not too long. Anyway, verses 1 to 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. God says, don't forget His benefits. Tell what God has done for you, personally. Most of us can tell, most of you can tell what God has done for you. Isn't that right? Well, last night, you know, I was praying about this, and you know, the Lord says, I have guided you from Buddhism to Christianity. Isn't that wonderful? God has actually guided me away from worshipping a dumb wooden idol to worshipping a living God, one who has made everything. And I read on, forget not His benefits. He forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. And that is exactly what God has done for me. Now, I believe God has guided me not just to a church, but to His most wonderful church. And I really believe it with all my heart. And today I want to make this my personal testimony. By the way, it's not one that I tell all the time. You are one of the most privileged one. I keep a strict record of where I have preached, and I have found this is the first time I have told it this way. Okay? So, you are privileged in some ways. I believe in a lot of ways God guides us. And you say, oh, it's only providential, or it is only accidental that I live at Hamilton. It's not true. I believe everything you do is guided by God. And it's not accidental, but providential. That is, God is leading and guiding in every way. In many ways, God has worked miracles to guide my life. So today, I'm not just a member of the Christian family, but I'm also a member of the pastors of this church. Now, let me begin. I was born in Guangzhou, huh? Canton. That's what it's called, okay? For most of us who are older, it's Canton, because I'm Cantonese. Okay, now if you want to know, this is the map of China, and this is where I was born. There you go. There's where I was born, there's where I grew up, and Hong Kong is just way over there. You might want to sit there so we can at least see. Oh, that's too hard. Yeah. Sorry about this. You ought to go and sit over there. Yeah. Now, I was brought up in a comfortable home. My father was the manager. My sister corrected me and said, no, he wasn't a manager at all. He was a comprador. Now, whatever comprador is, he was really one of the highest in the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank in Guangzhou. Okay? And that was my home. And the bank was downstairs and we lived upstairs, two floors. One floor for the servants, and we lived upstairs, the second floor, and that was our home. And I have been back there, but, you know, when I went back, I said to Yvonne, I said, darling, I want to show you where I first went to school. Now, that was a good 70 years ago. I was maybe five. Who's five? Do we have a five-year-old? No? Well, anyway, that was 70 years ago. I said, I reckon if we... By the way, that place is no longer a bank, because it was a British bank, and the government took over it, and today it is a hotel. And we made a point of living in that hotel. So we say, ha, I lived in my old house. But I said, let's walk over there. I reckon I know exactly where to find it, because I used to walk over there every week to school. I mean, every day. And it was only maybe 100 meters on. By the way, that place is called Xiamen, which is sandy face, okay? Is that how you say it? Xiamen? Xiamen, yeah. And tiny little island, maybe 1K long, half a K wide. Tiny little island on the Pearl River. And it was really an exclusive spot of Guangzhou. Anyway, I said, well, walk over there. And I walked over there, and sure enough, I said, this is it. This is my school. I can remember it. I was so excited. I'm going in. And Yvonne says, I don't think you should go in. The gate's closed. I said, oh, you watch me. Nothing's going to stop me. So I walked in. And I said, look, I used to be, many years ago, I used to be a student in this school. Oh, this is no longer a school. It's a retirement village for old people. And anyway, that's that. And I remember attending this school, and one day, you'd never ever believe it, it stayed with me 70 years. One day, just outside this chapel, that chapel is part of the school, see? One day, I saw this tall man, dressed in black. And we were talking. And this is what he said. I shall never, ever forget it. This is what he said. I just assumed he was all dressed in black. He was a brother or a father, which is a priest. And I said, and he maybe we were talking, I can't remember the exact conversation, but one little phrase stayed with me all this time. He said, you know, the Catholics should be worshipping Jesus, not Virgin Mary. Wow. I thought that was strange for a man. Maybe he was a man of the cloth. Maybe he was a brother. But he said something that stayed with me. You know, the rest of my family, later on, were all baptized as Catholics, but me, because of what this man said. And there it is, right there at that establishment, was a Virgin Mary thing. And people would come and bow and pray to Virgin Mary. But God says, I don't want you to make images and worship them. And that's true. Now, I came from a Buddhist home. And when we children were sick, oh, you'll be surprised, you'll love to hear this. When we got sick with fever or cough, and my mother would send the servant to the temple to get some ashes from the joss sticks. So they would mix it with water and drink the stuff. It was pretty bad. And I didn't like it. But obviously it didn't kill me, otherwise I wouldn't be around. Anyway, my mother said, you know, we should move to Hong Kong. And we did. Except my father stayed in Guangzhou because he was a very important man. He was so important, some people would say to me, little fella, what's your name? I'd say, oh, my name's John Chan. Oh, that was in Chinese, Chen Yuandou. Anyway, that was my Chinese name. Anyway, he says, what's your daddy's name? My daddy is such and such. Oh, we know him. And 9 out of 10 people would say, well, I know your father. He's always in the newspaper. He's always in the radio. So whatever he did, he was very, very important guy. In fact, he was so important. One day, my brother at Mitchell Library in Sydney was looking through a book called Who is Who in China. Now, that's only a select, maybe 200 or 300 people ever get into that book. Great big book, all about the most important people in China. And my father was there. So obviously he was very important. Anyway, my mother said, look, I want you to study English. So my Chinese is so poor, I had never finished primary school. I went up to primary 5, and then we switched from Chinese to English. So, anyway, I started studying English, first of all, in a school that had only white people, nothing else. I don't know why we got in, because we're not white people, but obviously my mum paid a lot of money and said, oh, we want my children to go to this school. And I was approximately 10 years of age. And at the school, they were teaching us, the ducky went quack, 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 and the elephant went thump, thump, thump. And we didn't like it, because I said, Mom, they're treating us like kids. You know, I'm a big boy now. I don't want it. Anyway, so my mom says, okay, you still have to learn English. So we went to a different school, and the school was called LaSalle College, Catholic school, LaSalle. Anyway, we went there, and eventually my mom said, look, you have a choice. The two of us, my bigger brother and myself, You can either go to America to study or to Australia to study. Because my English wasn't so good. My mother had a tutor His name was James Chong, and he was an ABC announcer, Australian Broadcasting Corporation newsreader. He was very good in English, and my parents paid a lot of money to help get him to come to our home to teach us English. And anyway, so they said, look, you can either choose to go to America or Australia. And I said, no, we want to go to Australia, because James was always talking Aussie. Australia's the best country in the world. So we chose Australia. And that was me at the age of 16. I looked like a maybe 12-year-old boy. Huh? Is that right? Yeah, 16 I was. That was maybe in my passport photo. Anyway, and that was my brother and myself and my father and my mother. And that's my sister and servant and another sister here and a friend and so on. Anyway, they came to say goodbye. Back in those days, nobody flies on airplanes. Airplanes were invented, but, you know, airplanes are no good. Back in those days, they were no good. The reason for it is we had a lot of things to bring along, including a great big camphor chest. You know those great big jomoklong, a great big box. Anyway, and you can't take that to the airplane. They won't let you. That was the boat that brought us to Australia. It took 2 weeks. July 1, we left Hong Kong, and July 15, we came to Australia. But July 1 was beautiful and warm in Hong Kong, and when I came to Australia, it was in the middle of winter. It was freezing cold, and I believe when we were on the boat, we met up with a few children about our age. And one was called Adrian Chan, one was called Bertram Chan, the third one was called Christopher Chan. Now, if you're observant enough, the father had A, B, C. And later on, there was Derek Chan, number four. And then there was another one, you'd never believe it, Lynette Chan. Lynette Chan became Lynette Tung. Have you heard of a Lynette Tung? Well, you'd never believe it. It is so incredible. We met up with these people, three boys. And when we came to Australia, we were friends. There's Adrian. And he became, that Chan family must be very brainy. Adrian became a professor, Dr. Adrian Chan, political science. And Bertram Chan became Dr. Bertram Chan, that is a chemical engineer. Very, very clever. Because when he was in year 11, he was teaching year 12 boys mathematics. They would say, oh, Adrian, how do you do this? And he'd say, oh, you do this and that and so on. He was so good. And when he finished high school, he got several scholarships to university. They didn't have to pay a penny of school fees. And there's Christopher Chan, who became an engineer. Now, why am I telling you this? Because we were on the boat for 2 weeks, and I believe God arranged it. They were not Seventh-day Adventists. However, when they planned to leave Hong Kong to come to Australia, their father met up with a lady by the name of Ella Chung. And Ella was a faithful Seventh-day Adventist and said, oh, I heard your boys are going to Australia. I want you to know If you want them to send them to a good school, there's the best school in Australia. It's called Avondale College. And your boys can go there. I will make sure they get in. And so she kind of introduced them to Avondale. Now, that I believe is miracle number one. Australia, I mean Sydney, is a big place. Huge place. Maybe several times bigger than Hamilton. And when we left, I was shivering in the cold, July 15, July 16. And I heard, when I woke up, some Chinese boys talking. And I looked out the window, who should live next door to me? Adrian, Bertram, Christopher. You say, oh, that's coincidence. No, it's not coincidence at all. I believe God had a plan. God put us on the same boat. Wouldn't you say that? And I mean, for us to be on the same boat and then living right next door to each other. You say that's incredible. Huh? Incredible. And I just have a photo of myself standing there, and there is Adrian's, Christopher, Bertram's uncle. They live next door to my friend. My mother's maiden name was Kwok, and this guy's name was Frank Kwok. Somehow they were related. And they said, look, if you're going to a boarding school, you might have to have a home during the holiday time. And so we went there, and it's a fish and chips place. Fish and chips. And this place was a fruit and vegetable store. Okay? Now, this is taken right from the front door where I was. By the way, that is Sydney. Sydney. And that was a milk cart, by the way. And I took that photo. I said, you'd never believe it. Australia is a backward country. And that was 1952. Now, you work that out. 1952, I was 16. If you're good enough, you can work out how old I am. Okay, work that one out. Now, miracle number... Yeah?
I came in 1951.
There you go. There you are. You're 1 year older than me. And miracle number two. Now, those boys went to Avondale, and they loved it. They loved the school. And they went to worship, they went to classes. There was only one thing wrong. All three of them had hives. Hives. So itchy. And they said, this is crazy. We can't have vegetarian stuff. We have to have meat. Because, well, what happened, I don't know. Okay, all three of them. And Adrian loved it so much, he said, I want to stay. And the other two boys, Bertram and Christopher, said, no, we want to go. And we will talk to our uncle at the veggie shop. And uncle said, you are stupid going to Seventh-day Adventist school. You should, if you have any sense, you would go with John and Bob. Bob's my brother. John and Bob went. Said, where did they go? I know, I talked to them. They went to De La Salle College at Cronulla. Said, where's that? So I'll find it for you. And he just picked up the phone book and boom. He said, yep. You want to go there? Yeah, we want to go there. It's a boarding school. So they went there. And one day at De La Salle College, we met up again because the headmaster said, John, come here please. I want you to come to my office. I said, yes, sir. I went there. And who should I see? Adrian, Bertram, Christopher. You say, that's crazy. There must be 2,000 schools in Sydney. Well, how come they land up at the same school? By the way, that school is not right in Sydney. It is 30 miles, which is 50 k south of Sydney. And they were actually 100 k north of Sydney at Kurrumbong, Avondale. Avondale is not in Sydney. It is 100 k north. And I was 30 k south of Sydney. How come we met up? You think God worked a wonder, a miracle, that we met up again? I believe so. I believe we met up again. And Adrian couldn't stop talking about Bible. Adrian said, you know, I told you Adrian's a pretty smart boy. He's got a good brain on him. And when they left Avondale, they had two people who looked after them, Mrs. Smith and Norma Smith. And they stayed at their home because they were only high school kids. They could not board in the dormitories. So they stayed at the Smith's home. And when they left, Mrs. Smith and Norma Smith bought them a Bible, beautiful Bible with leather cover, gold edges. And Adrian said, you know, you people, this school is dumb. They're not right. They should be keeping the Sabbath. And I said, what is Sabbath? I've never heard of the Sabbath. Adrian said, well, would you like to know? I said, yeah, I'd love to know. I'll show you from the Bible. And he showed me from the Bible. And this is what the Bible says. And he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord. I said, I've never heard that. I mean, I've been to 3 different Catholic schools. Altogether, I worked out, I had about 9 years of Catholic education. You know, rosaries, cross yourself, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord's with you, and all that. Mass, Latin Mass. Have you heard of Mass? You, it's all in a foreign language, right? And they go, and ding, 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 and all that incense. It was very boring, 45 minutes listening to Latin, and I didn't know a word of Latin. Huh? So you know all about that stuff, yeah, Mass. 45 minutes, Mass, and rosaries at night, Hail Mary, full of grace. It was awful. Anyway, so Adrian said, you ought to read the Bible. Find out. And I said, yep, I want to read the Bible. And every night, Adrian convinced me the Catholics were not right. But he did not convince me the Seventh-day Adventists were right. So I knelt down and I said, Lord, you have so many churches. You've got the Catholics, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans. Who is right? Please tell me. And this is what I got every night. As I knelt down and I prayed to the Lord gave me a little. Like, it's like a vision. Every night, there's a river with a swing bridge over it. I said, what on earth is that? I don't know how to get there, and I don't know where it is. And he says, when you get there, you'll know. Huh? And so I kept reading the Bible. Every morning, I had this little book. I bought a book. the Bible. And I read it from cover to cover. It took me 9 months. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you can say, yes, I have read the Bible right through? Now, I don't want to embarrass you. But for a teenager, that was a serious undertaking. Wouldn't you say so? Yeah, it is a serious undertaking. 9 months, I read the whole Bible through. And Adrian actually sent... Adrian went back to Avondale and he was baptized there. And he sent me a heap of Bible lessons, and I did the whole lot of them. I did the whole lot of them, and that was a representation of the original Bible, a tiny little one like that, and I read it right through. But I started taking notes. Would you believe it? Now, that is the original thing. And I want to read to you, why must we read the Bible? How should we be baptized? By immersion, not by sprinkling. Huh? And our only mediator, not Virgin Mary, not St. Joseph, not St. Patrick, not St. Teresa, creation. Should a priest get married? Now that was my little book, Our Father, meaning the Lord's Prayer, who is the rock. They reckon Peter was the rock. And I researched all that, the only Sabbath day. And all that time I was in the Catholic school. Would you believe it? I was in the Catholic school. Should a priest get married? No, he should take a wife in her virginity. That's in the Bible. Now, I didn't even know how to do this business, so I've got chapter 21, comma 13, means verse 15. I just didn't know. I decided I want the first-hand truth. I don't want second-hand stuff. Isn't that what you need? That's exactly, look, a bishop must be blameless and a husband of one wife. Now, if he's a married bishop, by the way, later on, the other Bibles call it the overseer. That is, he is the pastor. And that the pastor, by the way, is a shepherd. That's what I am, a shepherd. And it says, the Spirit speaks about, in the latter days, people will depart from the faith and forbidding marriage. They said, you shouldn't get married. And that is the major part of the Catholic's problem about images. I've got about statue. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that's in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. You shouldn't bow down to them or worship them. Huh? That's all there. I said it's clear as daylight. You can't miss it. About the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And so on. And I got it. I said, this is remarkable. I want to be a Seventh-day Adventist, but I didn't know how. So during the holiday time, I went back to the shop, the fish and chip shop, and guess who I should meet up with? Adrian. And this is what Adrian said. Oh, John, I've got something for you. I said, what's that? He said, an application to go to Avondale. You want to go to Avondale, you don't want to get stuck into that Catholic school. I said, yeah, that's right. I want to go to Avondale. So I started filling it in until it says, who is responsible for your fees? And I put my father, and I put his name there. Chan, Mr. Chan, is responsible for my... I said, oh, Adrian, I can't finish this application form. It says, I have to send it to Hong Kong to get it signed by my father. It says signature. He said, hey, kid, give it to me. And he put A. Chan. Now, that looks pretty impressive because I'm John Chan. And he said, by the way, you don't have to... I should... When I ran out of money, you know, I should say to Adrian... Adrian, can you please pay my school fees? Anyway, that's what he did. He just said, give it to me. So I, miracle number three. Now, after you read the Bible for a while, you get convicted. The Lord says, I don't want you to do this and that. I was having major problem because every morning for 45 minutes I had to kneel down to images. And I didn't want to do that. And if I didn't do it, I would be in trouble with the school. So, one day, and it was summertime, I had shorts on. And I noticed something. I said, man, what's that? I had a little chip of bone the size of a pea on my knee. And I pushed it and it could move around. And I went to see the headmaster and I said, sir, I've got a broken knee. I need to see a doctor. Show me. Yeah, you better go and see a doctor. And the doctor said, what's your problem, John? And I said, I've got a broken knee. He said, show me. Does this hurt? No. Can you walk? I want you to walk from here to there. And I walked there. And I walked back. And he said, well, basically speaking, it should come out. But because it doesn't bother you, we mustn't bother it. That's what he said. What do you want me to do? I said, can you please write a letter to the school and say, John has a broken knee. He can never kneel down again in chapel. That's exactly what I said. He said, no problem. John has a broken knee. He can never kneel again. He got my money. I got the letter and I gave it to the headmaster and I said, I can't kneel. The doctor said I had a broken knee and if I kneel down, I would do a lot of damage. I never, ever had an operation. The bone's gone. But today, if I look at my kneecap, there seems to be a little, an indentation on the kneecap. But the bone's gone. Totally gone. Now, I was following what the Bible says. I didn't want to be a rebel. God solved the problem for me. I was started keeping the Sabbath in the Catholic school. How do you do it? Well, there are no classes on Sabbath, but there were organized footy games and tennis and cricket, and I didn't want to do it. So early morning, I would pick up my Bible. I go to the far end of the paddock and I sat under the bushes and I read my Bible all day. That's all I did. I came home for lunch and I went back. And it wasn't easy. I didn't know how to keep the Sabbath. I didn't know anything about churches. And so my knee bone helped me. And I started keeping the Sabbath. I prayed every day. And when I went to Avondale, one of the boys said, hey, John, I want to show you around. And the first thing he took me was down to Dora Creek. And there was a swing bridge. And that's exactly what... And it was a kind of like a confirmation. John, you have now arrived. And I said, praise the Lord. I haven't stumbled into anything. I haven't joined any crazy gang that keeps Saturday. I have arrived because that is what God said. He never said anything about Avondale, Dora Creek, or Swing Bridge. And many years after, I have actually... Anyway, number four. When I was reading the Bible, I was so convinced it was the right thing to do. I said to one of the Malaysian boys who was not a Catholic. I said, I am leaving. Why? Don't you like this school? I said, nope, I don't like this school. What's wrong with it? He said, well, I tell you, I don't like the food. Awful. For 2 years, we never had an egg, a piece of fruit. It was white bread, jam, sausage, Devon, and a little bit of mashed potato and so on. It was awful food. Third class, prisoner food. I said, I don't like it. Secondly, I said, I don't like the religion. He said, what's wrong with the religion? I said, well, I don't like worshipping images. I don't like that. I don't like confession. I don't like Hail Mary. I don't like Mass. And would you believe it? That is my brother, taken right there in that Catholic school. That is me. And you'd never believe it. You know Lynette's brother? There he is. And the boy I was talking to was this guy. I was talking to him, and there I was, sitting I was sitting at the top of the steps like this. And I was talking to him about not liking the religion. And there was this boy inside the dormitory, and he was listening to all that. And suddenly, the door burst open. There was Reggie Wilson. He was shaking with anger. He was red in the face. He was almost foaming at the mouth. And he rushed at me. Now, I was sitting at the top of a flight of steps, and if he pushed me, I would have gone down, head first, down onto the cement path below. But as he came close to me, it seemed to me there was an invisible barrier. Maybe my guardian angel said, look, you leave that little guy alone, okay? You leave him alone. And he just could not get close to me at all. And finally he said, I'm going to report you. And he walked away like this. I'm going to report you. You watch. I'll report you. And Reggie Wilson used to be a good runner. I had never noticed he had a limp on his hand. Maybe he got so close to my angel said, you leave that boy alone. And he touched him, and just like Jacob, he had a limp for the rest of the term, and that's when I left the school. I went to Avondale. Wow, what a difference. I got there on Friday, and the guys were singing at the shower. They were cleaning themselves up. They all got dressed up. It was holiday time. And this is the chapel. Anyway, that's the dormitory. I was so impressed. The food was excellent. You know, good fruit, good meals, all vegetarian, and they had a week of prayer. And this guy, his name was R.A. Anderson. He was from the General Conference. Oh, he was a good preacher. And he stood back 6 feet away from the microphone, and he spoke with power. And at the end of the week, he made a call. He said, who needs to be baptized? Would you like to join the Church of God back in the... and come and stand, come right up. I was one of the first. I was one of the first. I got up, walked to the front, and others joined me. And what happened was, at the end, my Chinese friend said, hey, John, that was excellent decision. Thank you for... And I thought, It's so obvious. I can't help. I've read the Bible right through. And they have been teaching me the right things. I can't help but join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, back in those days, I wanted to be a doctor. When I finished high school, I said I love to be a doctor. But after listening to what this Pastor Anderson said, I said, I haven't got time. If Jesus is coming soon, I may as well train to be a minister. That's exactly what I did. I was baptized September 17, 1955. And 5 months after, I was in first year theology. It wasn't easy. I'll tell you what, it was very hard. I was struggling with English, let alone learning Greek. 2 years of Greek. Are there any Greeks here? Hard language. Huh? Hard language. And then 1 year of Hebrew. That was hard. Of course, there were other languages. I mean, other subjects as well. They were so difficult. I was baptized in that font there. Right there. I learned later on they have made this a little, it's no longer a baptismal font because we're getting soft and they can't heat this font up, so they are having baptisms inside the pool, the chapel, no longer used as a, I was the first batch of people to be baptized there, and I'm so glad that I ran out of money and I went to church in Sydney, staying at with my parents. And I met up with a lovely, lovely girl. And that girl, 16 years of age, I was 22. So I was actually 7 years older than her. She became my wife. Today, we have a family. A boy, Stephen, he is a faithful Seventh-day Adventist in Sydney. He is, he acted as an elder, and that's his wife and two kids. That's my daughter and her husband, Graham. They have three children. This photo was taken before the number three was born. Is a boy. So I've got five grandkids. And one of them is a little boy. And unfortunately, Graham, about 6 years ago, he died of a heart attack. Fit man, not fat, vegetarian, no smoke, no drink. He died of heart attack. And my daughter doesn't come to church anymore. She was a little bit discouraged. Anyway, she's engaged again now. But my wife said, why don't you write your story out? And I have. Took me 12 months. I wrote the whole story out. The story of my life. Biography. And I put my photo in there. The photo is actually a photo taken outside a church in a baptism. It was heavily cropped. Now, if you know anything about photography, the photo is so big, the face is so tiny. That's me, standing next to Yvonne. That is Yvonne's shoulder there. Huh? And I said, I don't like it. The photo is poor quality, expression's good. So I said, I will draw my own face. So this is what I have done. I drew my own face. I didn't want it to look like a photo. I want it to look like a drawing. And then I said I would like to make a book out of it. I rang some people and they said, oh look, if you want to print your biography, it will cost you $85. I said, no way, I can't. I mean, 10 photos, 10 books will cost me nearly $1,000. That's crazy. So, lately, I did my own research. In Melbourne, a stone throw from where I live at Ringwood, is a publisher that will do it for $16. And so I am going to put out a book called The Amazing Stories from My Two Worlds. And I just want to praise God for what He has done for me. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. But God has guided my life. That's why the song we sang, He Leadeth Me. I believe He leads me. And I believe God has guided my life into this wonderful church. And I am so happy to be a member of this church. And I am still doing things to help people to get ready to meet the Lord. And may God bless you all. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you that you have guided us individually to your family, the family of God. Father, we just want to rededicate our lives to you. Help us, Father, to serve you, to worship you, and to honor you by keeping your Sabbath holy. Father, we pray that the truth of the Word of God may impress upon us that we will always obey you, follow you, and do whatever you want us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.